continuing this Sunday with the Beatitudes. We're on the last group of them. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord qualifies blessed the blessing of those that are persecuted by saying that it's those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because many people are persecuted because of their own doings, and it's not in and of itself commendable to be persecuted, particularly if you bring it upon yourselves. It's when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. St. Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, he says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in turn, when he suffered he did not threaten, but commanded him, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Blessed are they that are persecuted." Why? Because St. Timothy, or the St. Paul's epistle to St. Timothy, the second one, chapter 3, says, "Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And our Lord in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, says, "Remember the words that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." If we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we are blessed because we are following in Christ's steps, as St. Peter said in the previous quotation. We're following his example. We're sharing in his suffering. Now, persecution can take many forms. Today, one of the commemorations of this Sunday is the commemoration of all those who suffered after the fall of Constantinople under the Turks. And those are people who suffered overt and severe persecution. We don't see that in this country at this point, but we do see persecution that takes much more subtle forms, where any expression of faith is somehow treated as being politically incorrect. And also, even more subtle than that, when you're around your friends and your friends are trying to do something that isn't right, or you are supposed to be doing something and you're too embarrassed to do it, that's a very minor form, and it's very cowardly when we think about it that we give in to that kind of persecution. When we think about the great martyrs who had to face things like having molten lead poured down their throats, and they didn't deny Christ, and yet because we're afraid of what our friends might think about us, we're afraid to say a prayer before we eat a meal and make the sign of the cross, or we're afraid to not go along with them when they're doing something, or to not laugh along at some dirty joke that they're telling. So that's a very subtle form of persecution, but it's one that we need to give some thought to. And it's a very easy form of persecution to resist if we just simply have the will. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We are not blessed if men revile us and speak evil of us, because what they say is true. It's when people say all manner of evil against us falsely, for Christ's sake, that's when we're blessed. We must also make sure that when people do revile us and they speak evil against us, that we respond in a Christian manner." Again, quoting from St. Peter, the first epistle, chapter 2, speaking of Christ, "When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." When people speak evil of you, you should let the rightness of your case be its own defense, assuming that your case is right. Again, if they're speaking evil against you truly, then you simply need to bear it humbly as a rebuke and mend your life so that people can't continue to speak evil against you truly. But if they're speaking evil against you falsely, let the rightness of your own life be its defense, and commit your defense to God, who will judge the matter, and he will vindicate you either in this life or in the next. And more often than not, in my experience, if you endure these things patiently, the vindication comes in this life. God doesn't allow, in most cases, us to just continue to suffer false accusations without some sort of vindication. But when we return abuse with abuse, it soon becomes impossible for someone who's observing this to make any distinction between the person that initiated the abuse and the person that's simply returning the abuse. And so if we respond in kind, we're robbing ourselves of the blessedness of enduring these things as a Christian, and we're descending to the level of the abuser. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. St. Peter, again in his first epistle, chapter 4, says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake are part of a long line of sufferers. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So persecuted they the apostles. So persecuted they Christ. So persecuted they all the saints. And so if you're persecuted along with them, you're in good company. And that should give you joy and consolation. You know you're on the right track. Because as I said, as I quoted St. Paul earlier, all who would live godly will suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering some form of persecution, you need to be concerned about why that is. And if you are, then you know that you're on the right track. And in persecutions, we partake of Christ's sufferings, as St. Peter says. And in doing so, we also will take part in the glory of Pascha. If we suffer him and die with him, we will also be raised with him and enjoy the eternal Pascha. But the joy is not just in the future. As I've said with all the Beatitudes, it's not blessed will be, but blessed are they that are persecuted now. And so let us now rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is our reward in heaven. Amen.